Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is November 3rd, 2025. How are we doing, Nico?
We're doing really good. Had a great weekend, as you know. Got to play around in Vibe Coder land yesterday and do a lot of work in Minimax, and even afterwards got into finally finishing up some documentation so I can get started on another project. And yeah, a lot of documentation, but it's been fun. There's like this transition that I've made from just like going after, building stuff. And even though it's been, I mean, that's kind of how it goes with me, is like reverse engineering problems. So even though I kind of like jumped in head first and like started building a bunch of stuff, it's like, okay, now I'm like reverse engineering back to like, oh, okay, well, if I build these, cornerstone things out, then that hammers out all of these details down the road. So it's actually been really fun, building custom GPTs and Claude projects specifically to like interview yourself about the app or the program that you want to build. Yeah, it's been a good weekend. How about yourself,
Yeah,
sir?
it's well, it's interesting you mentioned documentation, and why this we talk about collaborative intelligence and why AI is so powerful at filling in the gaps. AI really likes doing documentation and receiving documentation. You know who doesn't like either of those things? Humans. But when you do it right now, like that's what's been a huge difference maker for me as you talk about scoping project work and just finding some way to stay organized, right? Like you don't even ask for documentation and it just comes out of Claude. But it's necessary in terms of, collaborating asynchronously, whether it's humans or AI. It's like where's the source of truth? Like what are we doing here? Gotta have that documentation. And when you build it now, the cool thing is it's not a human on the other side having to maintain it and upkeep it and making sure we're on the right version and all this stuff. It's AI that can do it at a scale and speed while you're making progress on the project, right? So I think in the second half of the show today, we'll get into showing some stuff that we've been working on over the weekend. Got a beta site up for Value First team. Step one, and it's causing me to rethink like how even website work gets delivered. And if you start from a place of thinking SEO is not what it used to be, all of like the URL structures and all of that stuff, like it's pretty easy to call it into question about how important it is and how we publish things when we go live. Like for me, it's just like, can I share it and somebody can access it? Like I don't like all the other stuff can happen later. So we'll get into that. But you mentioned OpenAI in your post, spending a lot of money while not making a lot of money. What's up with that?
So there was a, I mean, it's, as much of a story as you want to make it out to be, I suppose. There's a lot of people that take some of these events that happen and they blow them way out of proportion and make them out to be like a much bigger thing than they really are. So there was a podcast that took place like just a couple days ago. It's the BG2 pod, with Brad Gerstner. I hope I'm saying that right. And so it featured Sam Altman and Satya Nadella, and they were talking about AI and the future of business and everything. And, you know, there's been a lot of question to Sam from financial experts. So this one was a little odd. He's been getting hit with some hard interviews lately, like out of left field and with some unexpected stuff. The Tucker Carlson interview was rough. I did not want to be in his seat at that time. This interview in particular, and I can't really call these interviews. I mean, they're supposed to be podcast episodes, but that's what they end up turning into. They end up turning into these, like, and this is like an almost hour and a half podcast, but you could very much tell that it was centered around this like little 5 minute aspect of the conversation. And what they talked about was the fact that if you go out there and look, OpenAI is promising a lot of monies to these companies that they are currently purchasing and buying compute from and borrowing, chips from, or, you know, getting cloud storage or whatever it might be. And never mind the fact that they just expanded to like 8 countries in Europe, I think. So that revenue going. But outside of that, they've committed to something like over $1 trillion in spend over the next like 5 years. And at the same time, they were scheduled like by the end of this year. Now I'm laughing for a good reason. $1 trillion spend within 5 years. Okay. They made $1 billion they made $1 billion. This year, they're actually coming close to 20. Which is, yep, yeah, exactly. 20x, right? That's ridiculous. Who does that? Who does 20x in a year? Like, even if it's 15, it's over 10. The projection was 10, which is ridiculous to begin with. That a company could 10x its revenue in 1 year at $1 billion already, right? So they were scheduled to hit 10. They're at, I think, 13, 5 or 14, something like that. Sam says it's much higher than that. I believe him. I'm sure when he says that, it's probably closer to 17 or 18. So they go from 10 to 18. Next year, that if it stays on course, if it just stays the way that it's supposed to by maths, that goes from 18 to 180. Right. And then that 180 the year after goes 1.8 trillion. Again, this is their maths. It's not my maths, but so far, the smartest maths people in the world have been right. that's the easiest way I can put it. So yeah, it was an interesting point. And the reason that it got so much attention through AI channels was mainly because Sam was at one point was just like, this is silly. Like, this is really a non, like, don't really want to get into this that much. And it's, I guess people really jump all over whenever he doesn't want to answer a question or doesn't want to get into something. All of a sudden, that's the controversy and there must be something to it because he doesn't want to get into it. And I think the reality is that they have talked about this. They have talked about the fact that, hey, it is going to cost exponential amounts of money, even from the beginning. Like, people are kind of surprised that he said like $1 trillion in spend. He already said before everything got started, it's going to cost like $7 trillion to be on like a good like standing point with US AI. So I think, you know, honestly should be thankful that he's even hitting the mark. Or shooting for it. Yeah,
you gotta shoot for it.
Seems like over worry, I guess, over concern.
Well, they're just begging for any sign of bubbly stuff. And that's probably, I mean, most of the time I've heard him kind of deflect or not give answers relates to, like, we can't fathom, like, we cannot understand what's happening right now. Like, our, nope, our brains are not evolved for it. The scale and the speed is just something we've never seen before, and it's not slowing down, and it doesn't compute. Like, and that makes for some very awkward conversations when you're trying to, like, like, I literally cannot explain it to you in a way that will, like, make sense. Like, so why are you asking me to, basically? Like, but that's us as humans, right? We desperately yearn for why and the certainty and, you know, but if you want that, your best bet is just to ask AI at this point. Maybe it can break it down for you. But yeah, the math works, right? Like, the gaps, the weaknesses, the everything is plain as day on how this needs to move forward. And, like, there's never been any kind of investment flow like this into one specific, you know, category. And I don't even think we're taking into account all of the you know, crypto, like, value that's out there, right? So it's, they're playing a long game here, like, and we think in quarterly market outputs, and it just doesn't, we're done playing that game.
Yep. And I mean, and actually it's funny to that point about crypto markets and security. OpenAI just released a new model called Aardvark. And Aardvark's job is basically to police security, like IT security for systems. And I'm not entirely sure. I guess because the movie exists, you couldn't really, but I just think of it as like, oh, okay, well, you're trying to make Tron, right? Like, you're trying to make the one program that's in there that's trying to make sure that none of the programs try to become the MCP, right? Which to me sounds really interesting. I don't want to diverge too much, but I don't know. It's, you said that, it reminded me of this new agent that they're putting out. And then I think of Palantir. It's like, maybe one is trying to be Dylan and the other one is kind of trying to be Flynn, right? Like, one is developing the system to detect stuff for the wrong reasons, and the other one is developing a system to detect things for the right reasons. So it's very interesting times for sure.
Yeah. The key point is people are developing systems.
Yes.
And I think something we touched on yesterday that I heard last week was, like, it's not slowing down. And if you're out there thinking, like, this is a bubble, it's gonna burst, people are gonna slow down, whatever, it's not gonna slow down because there's health related advancement happening and human life is being helped in a positive way when it comes to solving for diseases that we've never solved for and curing things and extending, you know, not only lifespan, but also quality of life. Like, we're figuring that out. And as long as we're figuring that out, it's going to be impossible to get in the way of progress there. And then, so, like, from all angles, all interests, like, positive and less than positive, are being served in ways that they've never have before. So you just have all this energy interested in, you know, interested in advancement here.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're not, even though we don't like change, I don't think we're built to kind of sit still. Like, we're built to evolve And it's just, we've never seen this pace before. So we're not going to recognize the dollar amounts. And I mean, at this point for most people, like, does trillion even mean? Like, that's why I'm just like, can we just get to the point where that's no longer a thing in 5 years? Yeah.
And that's what's crazy, right? Is like, I think, like, that's what was, I don't know, like, that's what I love the most about, like, you just diving into Minimax and, like, getting started with that, because we talk about, like, zero cost development environment and what that looks like and what that means for the future and everything like that. But it is a very different thing once you actually experience it and you actually see, like, wow, I can actually build these very, even if they aren't, look, even if these aren't super complicated things for software engineers, they're software engineers, right? So it shouldn't be complicated to them. But they are complicated for you because you don't know any of that shit. So to you, it might as well be hieroglyphics, right? And to be able to go from just idea to realization with $0 in less than 20 minutes, I don't know, you tell them how to do it.
Yeah. Nah, if you're with us on Friday, like, basically you got to watch Nico activate, like, both me and George at the same time. And that led to using Minimax first, like, within 30 minutes. I started working on a value first CRM just to see, like, what we could do to see if we could build in, like, you know, education and the data structure and all the stuff that I talk about on a daily basis, just right in, just build it right in. You know, if we can build CRMs that start with lead MQL and SQL, like, maybe we can build one that has audience researcher and hand raiser, like, built in instead. And that was, like, in the first half day while I was moving from my house to on-site with a customer, different devices. Like, I just can't get over how smooth that was. Like, being able to pick up, create a Supabase account that I never had before, connecting GitHub. Like, just, it was just unbelievably easy. And then, so that led to, over the weekend, you know, doing the same thing. And again, like, we talked about documentation, like, at the gate today, because I've been doing so much of that with Claude, this kind of stuff. I just ask Claude for the prompts, like, this is what I want to do with this tool, right? Give me the starting prompt. And that led to this Value First Team website, right? Which is, you know, significant in like, amount of pages and working clicks and things like that. There's still plenty to connect, right? Yeah. But this is, like, taking the assessment. Like, this is a working assessment that has questions in it, and it's just really cool, and it feels cool. It feels fun, right? Never want to forget about that part. But, you know, this last mile of, okay, this is a URL, you know, that doesn't matter, which, I mean, how far are we away from even caring about that in terms of just not building for organic traffic, like, anymore? And LinkedIn is, you know, short linking everything anyways, and you can't even see it. And anyways, but until we get there, still paying homage to the old ways, and moving it over to a real URL, betavaluersteam.com. That's sort of, like, going beyond my comfort zone of, you know, and this is where I'm at. Like, I need to move to Claude Code at this point, because now, even though this is published, since I'm used to only working in HubSpot CMS or CMSs that make it really easy to edit and never touch the code, this is all like a code based through using these agentic tools. So now I gotta like close the gap on updating the site effectively, right? And that involves a hosting service and then getting Cloud Code involved. But just getting to this point where, far from perfect, but, 40%, 50%, 60% done, like we'll find out. It was 0% before this weekend, and it was not looking good leading up to today, right? And all of a sudden, that activation on Friday morning, right?
Something that went from a planned team of people working together ended up becoming a non-blockade for the person that needed to get the thing done so that they could move on to the next thing that was more important than standing up framework for a website, right? Like that's the suck up time. That's like, man, I just need this to be out there, and I need a place for people to go that looks decent, that represents my brand, that has the things that I need in it. And I need this to get done, in the next whatever, couple days, in the next week. Who's got what money that it would cost to hire God knows how many people, old school, to code that together in a week? And, site verified and tested and all this other kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And where people think that like, oh, well, yeah, but you're using this agent and, it's making code spaghetti and it doesn't really know what's going on. And it's not taking this, that, and the other thing into account. Again, I invite you to watch the video from yesterday, because you will watch the stream where it is thinking through every single step. And it's like, oh, I did this. I need to go back and look at this thing. Oh, well, there's this. I'll hand that off to this agent who's going to go take a look at that, and they're going to deal with it and come back to me with all the specifics or whatever. And then I'm going to make a determination, and then I'll present the user with some determinations based on what we've all worked together on internally. And this is happening in 3 seconds.
Yeah. And like the thing that I think everybody still underestimates is there are so many things that happen during projects because we just can't move fast enough. We can't iterate fast enough. And so we learn things, like we do a bunch of stuff in theory in a vacuum. We document it all and it's like, this is what we're going to do. And it's like, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Okay, send it to the devs. Now the devs are going to do all these things. In the meantime, I'm learning things real time in my business, like naturally thinking of, oh man, I should ask for this. And like, I got to wait now. Okay, I'm going to document all my new ideas, right? And then they're going to deliver something, and that's going to cause a cascade of ideas, regrets, opportunities that we put these like project management principles in place where it's like, if we can do it inside of 2 minutes, then we can get it done. But if not, we got to table it. We got to put it in these long list of priorities. And there's just so much that does not happen, even though it would be the right thing to do, because we cannot act quickly enough because of these, delivery relationships that we have to have, because humans are involved and humans can only go so fast. They can only think so deeply for so much amount of time per day. Getting out of the habits of leaning on so many people that just have to be order takers because they don't have a choice because they've got so much work on their plate, right? Meanwhile, they're not being fulfilled. The project isn't as good as it could have been, right? Because as I do both these things, like I'm learning, like, okay, I should do it this way now. And there's no sunk cost of being like, wow, man, we already spent 10 hours on this. Like I gotta really think this. If I really want to start from scratch, I gotta really think it through. Like, is that a good idea? I don't have any of that because it wasn't so much like effort and time and cost. It was zero cost outside of the cost of my Claude at this point, right?
I got to tell you, like, what's the fastest way to learn? To try and fail, right? Because as soon as you fail, you learn what it was that you messed up, and you know exactly what to fix. So, like, earlier when I was saying that, you know, I went forward and reverse engineered, that's kind of what I was doing, is I was failing forward. People were like, how did you get to know so much about what you do, like, so quickly? I failed forward. Hardcore. I mean, some of my stuff are on, like, the seventh iteration, right? And it's already hilarious for me to go back and look at the first iteration and laugh at what it was, even though all of them were vibe coded, right? The first iteration had next to nothing behind it in terms of preparation and what it was. It was literally almost all prompted. And the latest iteration has so much documentation to it, I basically have to just sit back and watch and make sure that it's reading the right doc, because everything is in there that it needs to know, right? Completely different ball game in such a short amount of time. And to your point, like, it's almost fun. Like, I used to, like, really, like, have that nightmarish feeling of, like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to start over. And now, if I do have to start over, I actually look forward to it. I almost look forward to finding out, like, oh, is there a loophole that I didn't figure out? Because if there is, I can get to here in, like, half the time now. So even if there is a problem, it's not a big deal. Like, it won't, you know, and half the time being like, well, it took me a day to get here, so I guess tomorrow I can do it by 10 o'clock.
Yeah. No. And, like, there's a lot, like, my natural operating pattern likes to start from scratch or, like, finish, like, the in-between. Like, if I haven't been working on it all day, like, there's a lot of unfinished stuff that happens because I feel like I can't just jump back in and, like, whether that's a video game or a work project, it's like, all right, I know I got 10 hours in, but I don't really remember where we were, and I don't remember all the variables in play. So either I'm starting from scratch, or it's going to sit there and not move forward. And, like, those are the kinds of things where you start to rethink, like, are things like ADHD and other things, like, a weakness, right? Like, is it a superpower that I can, you know, activate many different things at the same time? And if you, any of these things that we're talking about, whether it was SEO at the beginning or documentation, it's 100% mindset of just, like, when you lean in the right way, all of a sudden, holy shit, like, it's just value like we've never experienced before. But you have to lean in the right way. And like we talked about on Friday, when it comes to traditional B2B campaigns, like, if human in loops means I got to review every single thing that gets drafted, you're going to sit there with 50 blog posts that never get reviewed because you think you're over there and you should have been over here at the beginning. To make it not so hard to review everything, right? So it's a mindset shift. But yep. If you can make it, man, that's the cool thing. That's the fun thing. Anybody can make that mindset shift and catch right up.
Like that scene in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, right? The step that he has to make onto, like, the invisible, what seems like an invisible ledge. But it's really just the way that it's textured makes it look like it's impossible. But then as soon as he takes the first step, he realizes how possible it is because of the fact that, like, oh, it's not as daunting as I thought. It is actually just a walkway across. It was a bitch to take that first step. Right. So yeah, it is very much the same.
Exactly. So we'll continue on this path this week. I know Nico's got some fun apps to show as well. And we hope everybody has an amazing week. Thanks so much, Nico.
See you guys.